Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Amazon mistreating pregnant workers while several senators want a full investigation. California and labor law revisions. What lawmakers have passed, which are pretty good for workers. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and an update with the local building trades. Welcome to the Tuesday, September 14th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Mr. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director of the Communication Workers of America, District 4. That includes four states in the Midwest: Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, as well as Michigan. He's one of our regulars, longtime supporter of this show. A couple things he's going to get into. Number one, the PRO Act. If you go to their website, cwa-union.org, you'll see a lot of information on how you, yes, you, can get involved and make sure this legislation makes it to the finish line. I'm reading right from the website. The PRO Act means more power for union members. That's what you want. When workers organize, mobilize, and strike together, we can build power and win the wages, benefits, and working conditions we need and deserve. But that can be extremely difficult when our current laws keep the balance of power tilted in favor of CEOs and the super rich. The problem is, when CEOs and the 1% hold so much power, our economy and laws stay rigged in favor of the wealthy. They get richer while our wages stay stagnant and our working conditions get worse. We need big change, and the PRO Act will do that. Actually, it's the Rich Trumka Protect the Right to Organize. Historic legislation. It would protect strikes and other protest activities, make it easier to bargain, help strengthen protections for workers forming a union, prevent the misclassification of workers as independent contractors, get rid of right-to-work laws. Or right to work for less. If you are a regular listener to the show and you missed yesterday's show, you got to listen to Eric Ketrick. Eric was with IBEW local out of Massachusetts, 2322, I believe. And he talked about a decade-long struggle to organize for a first contract where Comcast, they tried to decertify the union twice. It was an amazing struggle, and talk about worker solidarity, but none of that should have happened, and it would not happen if we had the PRO Act in place. So we'll hit on that. We'll also talk about AT&T. Mentioned this story last week, and relations between the CWA and AT&T have been kind of iffy over the years, especially when the Republican tax cuts hit back in 2017, 2018. And the CEO of AT&T said for every $1 billion that they would receive in tax breaks, they would create like 7,000 jobs. They should have created, because they got like, what, $7, $8 billion in tax breaks. They should have created like 130,000 jobs. Instead, it went in the other direction. They were cutting jobs. Well, apparently, the company and the CWA finally agreed to settle a lawsuit, resulting in the preservation of 29,000 landline technical jobs until the end of 2023. And not only did the settlement result in job preservation, it also included a commitment by the company to hire 6,000 more customer service workers. Now, none of that would have happened if they didn't have a union. So those are the two main topics we're going to deal with Frank Matthews. Tom Jermuska will be talking about the local building trades. Tom is the editor at the Labor Citizen, produced by the BMA Media Group, which produces this show since 1993. Three things he's going to touch on: mandatory vaccines in the construction industry, in the wake of President Biden's plan to further battle COVID, which included vaccine mandates for businesses with 100 employees or more. The Labor Citizen is going to look at how this will impact the construction industry and the trades. At least five international unions have already come out with varying statements encouraging all members to vaccinate. So we'll touch on that. Also, the trades have endorsed the proposed $435 million deal between the Cleveland Indians, soon to be the Cleveland Guardians. That'll be for next year's team. That agreement with the Indians, the city of Cleveland, the county, and the state of Ohio to renovate Progressive Field and extend the team's lease in Cleveland for at least 15 years. You're talking about a lot of union jobs there. And lastly, there was a study that came out recently about the relationship between the biopharmaceutical industry and the union trades. The study looked at a 14-state sample of construction projects over about 6 years. And the numbers are pretty significant in the billions of dollars. So when big money, and I'm telling you, they got some dough, big money pharmaceutical companies, the biopharmaceutical companies, when they need new facilities built, and they're building them all around the country, they go union. I like that. And the trade certainly like that. So Tom's going to touch on all of those as our second guest on the show. Six U.S. senators, including Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, have called on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to investigate allegations that Amazon has failed to make adequate provisions for pregnant employees at its warehouses, citing what appears to be a concerning pattern of mistreatment of pregnant employees at their fulfillment centers. The senators have requested that the EEOC investigate whether Amazon failed to protect pregnant workers from physically strenuous tasks that could have adverse health effects, as well as whether the company has previously disciplined or retaliated against employees for pregnancy-related medical absences. Wow. Such practices may just violate the Pregnancy Discrimination Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. I tell you, Amazon has a lot of fires going on right now. Wow. And they've got the union election that may happen again in Bessemer, Alabama. Over 10,000 production and warehouse workers across nine UAW locals at John Deere in Kansas and in Iowa are voting this week on whether to authorize a strike. The workers may have an edge, and I'll tell you why. The company is apparently struggling to find enough workers to hire. And the seasonal timing of a potential strike comes just as farmers are looking to buy new equipment after harvest. According to reports, healthcare looms large over the current negotiations since John Deere remains one of the few agricultural equipment companies that provides premium-free healthcare. Boy, I tell you, that's a rarity. Let me repeat that. Premium-free healthcare. This year is said to be John Deere's most profitable year yet. And with its minimum wage starting at $15.14 an hour, there's money to spend. That's one to watch. Let's go to California. State lawmakers there passed over a dozen labor-related bills in the last days of this year's legislative session, including bills to improve warehouse safety, prohibit non-disclosure agreements covering harassment, as well as improve the state's work safety regulators' enforcement capacity. The legislature is scheduled to wrap up its work on Friday on hundreds of measures now before the governor for final consideration. By the way, that's the governor who faces a recall election today that may result in his removal from office. Now, he must sign or veto the bills by October 10th, regardless of what happens today. As to the labor-related bills themselves, here's one, AB 701, passed by the State Assembly last Thursday, that would prohibit warehouse employers from counting mandated rest, lunch, and bathroom breaks against a worker's productivity quota. Then there's SB 606, which state senators passed the same day. It would make it easier for California OSHA, the work safety regulator, to issue citations by permitting the agency to cite employers for violations at multiple locations without inspecting each individual workplace. There's another, SB 338, that would expand joint liability for companies that contract with employers that misclassify truckers who transport goods around the state's ports. And then there's AB 794, would condition truck companies' receipt of clean energy subsidies on them meeting various labor standards. Lastly, amid a swath of other labor-related bills working their way through the state legislature, include a bill to expand the prosecution of employers who knowingly steal wages from workers, as well as a bill to heighten contractors' liability where their subcontractors fail to pay workers on labor projects. That's what you call a progressive legislature. We'll see what happens here, especially with this recall. Thousands of union members, by the way, mobilized over the weekend opposing the recall election in California. Throughout the state, union members continue to knock on doors and amidst a strong effort to get out the vote. And across the country, volunteers made calls into California urging union members and their families to vote no. Liz Shuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and their executive vice president, Tafir Gebra, joined members campaigning against the recall in California over the weekend. Joe Biden, President Biden, was there yesterday. Art Pulaski is the executive secretary-treasurer of the California Labor Fed. He said an army of volunteers are hitting the streets in the final days to extinguish the threat that this recall poses to priorities like workplace safety, minimum wage, public education funding, and immigrant rights. The polling right now shows that Newsom is going to be okay. And that being said, the Republican opponent, Larry Elder, went around yesterday saying there's going to be probably fraud as a result of the election today. Setting the stage for a recount, my guess. All right, we have to break. When we come back, the Communication Workers of America.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And of course, you could check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast, which is also our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one and welcome one of our regulars. That would be Mr. Frank Matthews, District 4 Administrative Director for the Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org. Mr. Frank Matthews, how are we doing today, brother?
Good afternoon, Flash. We're doing great. We're doing good, great.
Good. I want to get into the PRO Act, but I got to bring this story up about Jerry Horgan. And I get a ton of labor news on the web. And actually, I got this a couple of weeks ago because there was an anniversary date. It goes back to 1989. Jerry was a chief steward at Local 1103, 34 years old. And he was striking. I guess the company was called 9X, which was like the company before Verizon came to fruition. Well, this happened in New York. He was struck and killed by a car that drove into a picket line. What was to become a four-month strike over health care benefits was in its second week. At his funeral, a line of thousands of CWA members wearing red stretched for more than a mile along the route to the church. So every Thursday, I mean, this goes back to 1989. Every Thursday since, CWA members wear red in honor of Jerry's memory and to show that we are united in the fight for justice for all working people. What an incredible story. So that is still going on today then, right, Frank?
40 years, and we're still doing it. We're still honoring Jerry. I don't know a local officer in this country that, as soon as you say the name Jerry Horgan, doesn't automatically get sad and think of, you know, the price that was paid there. And I think it's, you know, not, you can't bring somebody back and you can't, you know, it's just our way of tributing what, you know, being a tribute to what Jerry sacrificed. And, you know, it's 21, it's, you know, 89. I had my math a little mixed up there, but it was, about 32 years it's been. And you're right. It was a sight to behold. It was the CWA members lined up for miles wearing the red, and we just went with it. And, you know, CWA's color and can even be credited after that point for being CWA red, because our members, when you're at a union rally or you're at a event of any kind, most people look out and associate different unions with different colors. And, you know, and we're CWA red. I mean, we're proud of that. I'll share another version of CWA red later. I wanted to hit before I got off here, but I think it all can be tracked back to that. And it's so nice to have that story and hear you say that you saw that story somewhere else, because we have to keep memories like that alive so our younger folks know the sacrifices that were paid. So we all basically have what we have today. We have to keep fighting, but we also got to appreciate the sacrifices of those before us.
Never forget. I mean, look what labor has done over the years, the eight-hour day, pensions, health care. I mean, workers like Jerry fought and died for that kind of thing. But that is so honorable that to this day, every Thursday, every CWA member wears red in his honor. All right, let's talk about the PRO Act. And I'll tell you, the CWA has done a very good job of getting the word out. And if you go to the website, CWA-union.org, this is a great opportunity to inform, number one, yourself, what the PRO Act is all about. And we'll touch on that. But to activate, educate and activate, and make sure that our senators move forward on this legislation. The time is now. I mean, think about the makeup of Congress. We got... we have a guy in the White House that's ready to sign this legislation. How many times does that happen? Talk to me about the PRO Act here, Frank, because...
Well, you're exactly right. Elections matter.
Yep.
And I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and the topic came up, you know, about everything going on now, because we actually have, you know, over the next 2 months, some really life-altering legislation has the chance to get passed out of D.C., the For the People Act, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. We are certainly pushing the PRO Act. You've got the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Plan. You've got the Build Back Better stuff in the budget. It's huge, and it'll affect workers for decades, and in a positive way, much like you know, happened back you know, during the FDR days with the New Deal and the WPC and the building the roads and the bridges. This literally, and it's not hyperbole, can affect workers for decades to come on job security, on rebuilding this country, building back better, as we want the moniker to be. We just don't want broadband in this country. We just don't want good roads again in this country. And I think we can all agree that our roads and bridges and infrastructure, clear down our sewer systems and water systems, are crumbling in this country. We don't want them just to make them adequate. We want them to build them back better for the next century and make us leaders again. And all this legislation has the chance of doing that. And to my point, you know, a year ago, if you would ask a lot of us, the chances of us achieving any of this, we'd have said, we were kind of in a dark moment in this country. We knew we'd have to have the presidency and then all both houses. But, you know, when labor and progressive groups fought so hard to win back the Senate, that changed everything. And the fact that we have, you know, the majority in the Senate, the House, and a president that is probably the most labor-friendly president of any president we've ever had, is making all this possible. So, you know, the PRO Act is that's one of the three biggies that I call it that are coming up. Unfortunately, because of, you know, it's passed twice in the House. It's because of the filibuster rules, which kind of being held up in the Senate. But the good thing is, you know, because of so many parts of the PRO Act have to do with the country's budget and have dollar amounts fixed to them, like penalties for violating workers' rights, you know, even small things like making union dues tax deductible, all that can be brought up in the budget reconciliation. And, you know, when corporations can write off the cost to move jobs overseas, a corporation can write off the cost to move a job to Mexico. They can write off the what it costs to build that plant in Mexico, what it costs to move that work. When corporations can do that in reverse, our union members should be able to write off, you know, if they can write that off, then why can't our union member write off the amount of, you know, their union dues from their taxes, which, you know, little things like that add up to a lot. You know, we can put some fines in there and some penalties for violating workers' rights in the budget reconciliation. Because of the penalty, it affects the national budget. And, you know, I think where we're going to see the rubber hit the highway, if you will, might be in the voters' rights, For the People Act and the voters' rights, because, you know, I think it's going to come down to the majority in the Senate saying enough's enough on the filibuster on that one and saying, you know what, if we depend on this archaic non-constitutional thing called the filibuster, nothing's ever going to move in this country. And because it affects so many people, and I know I kind of moved from the PRO Act to the For the People Act, but everything here is connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason voter rights are being attacked. That's because of what happened in the last election and more Americans voting than ever before. You know, all this is connected. So in a nutshell, elections matter. I think the next 2 months have the potential to be the most exciting for labor in my lifetime, certainly. And we really have the opportunity to you know, set things right and to put both houses back in the hands of the people. And what I mean by, you know, if the American public puts a majority in every house, they did that for a reason. Not so 10 folks from the other party can gridlock everything, you know. And I think we run a really good chance here. And the For the People Act and certainly the PRO Act, we're pushing it hard. But, you know, unlike the For the People Act, we can do a lot of things with the PRO Act outside of that bill in the budget reconciliation process. But I know it seems overwhelming, all this legislation. We're kind of handling things kind of step by step. And I think the first bill that's going to come up is this For the People Act. And actually this Friday, CWA and many of our coalition partners across the country are running a Voters' Rights Day of Action. And I can give you an 855 number later. We sure would like people to call between now and Friday. And it basically trunks them into their senator so they can say, hey, you know, let's get this done. Let's protect voting rights in this country.
Give me that number now. Go ahead.
Okay, 855-971-0720. And again, 855-971-0720. And if you forget it, you can go to cwa.org/forthepeople. And you go there, it actually has a landing page where you can put in your phone number. We will call you back on a recording and say, hey, put in your zip code, and then we will trunk you. We'll pick up the dime. We will trunk you into your senator's office, and so you can say, hey, let's get this Voters' Rights, this For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, let's get it done, you know.
So you're making it real easy for people. I like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. The number again is 855-971-0720, and we're talking about voter rights here. It's so important because there has been an attack, I believe, in 15 states now. 15 states. So that's almost a third of America where conservative lawmakers are making it more difficult to vote. And it should be just the opposite when you think about it. And then we've got the PRO Act. We got the PRO Act. That's important. And I love what you have on your homepage. The PRO Act equals worker power. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Here's a stat for you. The PRO Act would get rid of right-to-work laws, pretty much. And like 27 states have right-to-work laws in this country. On average, workers in states with right-to-work laws make nearly $9,000 less per year than workers in states without right-to-work laws. How's that number for you? $9,000. That's a lot of change there, no doubt about that.
And they have a 30% better chance of coming home at the end of the workday because jobs are safer because of the union voice in the workplace.
All right, Frank, I have to take a quick break. Frank Matthews, one of our regular guests on the show, he is the District 4 Administrative Director for the Communication Workers of America. Again, their website, cwa-union.org, for all up-to-date information. We're going to talk about AT&T next, and later in the show, Tom Jermuska will fill us in on the local building trades. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes La Yuna to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute, sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. We would greatly appreciate a five-star rating. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Frank Matthews. Frank is with the CWA, cwa-union.org, for complete updates. Definitely go to that website and make sure that you sign the petition. Put power in the hands of workers. Support the PRO Act. We got to support the PRO Act. We got to change labor law in this country. You wanted to mention that you gave an award. The CWA, your district, Administrative District 4, gave an award to two members of Congress. What was this about, Frank?
Yeah, last week, our highest award, and, you know, we talked earlier about CWA Red, and this ties back into it because that's how we chose the color of the boxing glove. CWA's District 4's highest legislative award, and I can think of probably in the last decade, maybe fewer than eight legislators across the country, you know, across our district have received this in a decade, you know. So, I mean, it is a... We consider it the holy grail of the awards, and we gave our red boxing glove, and it's a legitimate boxing glove. It's signed by CWA members, and last week on Tuesday, we presented a red boxing glove to Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio and Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin. It really, really means a lot. I think both of them were very humbled by it. We've got some pictures on our District 4 website, CWAD4, of both events. And, you know, both of these folks, Congressman Ryan and Congressman Pocan, have supported labor lock stock. I mean, the first thought in their mind is, how does this affect working families in each state? And that's the kind of person that gets this award. And it's a boxing glove for a reason, and it's signed by our members for a reason, because it's given to the person that we feel is really, really out there over and above, exceptionally fighting for workers day in day. And we just appreciate both of them. And I wanted a chance to mention that because a lot of times, you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't, outside of CWA, get mentioned. But it's a huge award. It's a huge thing for us to give it to somebody. And we just think the world of both of those folks.
You know what? We have to salute the members of Congress that are on the side of workers. Because, Frank, you know there are many that are not on our side. And we hear about them way too often. So that's good. Yeah, Tim Ryan. If you get an opportunity, those of you listening right now, just Google Tim Ryan's speech on the PRO Act. I don't know if you saw that, Frank, when he
did.
couple of months back as it passed in the House, and he was a fireball on that.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. Good guy. Really good guy.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about AT&T. And apparently, I came across this story last week that AT&T and your union, the CWA, have agreed to settle a lawsuit resulting in the preservation of 29,000 landline technical jobs. And this is going to be in effect until the end of 2023. Also, the company is going to hire 6,000 more customer service workers and make Martin Luther King Jr. Day a holiday for all union members. I didn't realize it was not a holiday, but nonetheless, that's all been settled on this. This, I guess, some other details are being worked on right now. But bringing that up just made me think about the struggle that the CWA had with AT&T. And you and I talked about this relentlessly after the tax cuts that the Trump administration put in effect. What was it? I think it was 2017, 2018, where the CEO of AT&T, didn't he say something like every $1 billion in tax cuts, they would create 7,000 jobs?
7,000 shovel-in-the-ground jobs.
Yeah, shovel in the ground, ready to go.
I always remember that phrase, shovel in the ground.
None of that happened now, did it?
Well, no. But thank goodness, you know, and I really can't share a lot of the confidential settlement of the litigation. You know, a lot of the details of the what's, wins, or whys. You pulled off the internet there. The highlights, you know, nothing sacred, nothing secret anymore in this country because of the internet. But you know, this was termed a confidential settlement of litigation. And the most important thing to remember is, to your point, after a period there to where we were seeing a decline in employees, that seeing some surplusing and some downsizing things. This will lock in our numbers through 2023. It really is about jobs, and it's about job security and organizing rights. And you know, with these commitments on jobs, you know, CWA is. We'll work with AT&T to especially in this infrastructure build out, to make, you know, AT&T and all the companies we represent leaders in the build out. I mean, it's build back better. It's oh so important. We believe our members are the best ones to do the job. We will see some growth. You're right. Many of our members did have Martin Luther King Day off, but it was a floating holiday. It was an either or with another day. Now it's solid. They didn't lose the either or. Plus, it's a solid day. So, you know, that was a good thing. And you know, I think what can't get lost in this, and it's great that both entities realize this, us and AT&T. Both entities realize that, you know, the pandemic has really been a wake-up call for the entire country on the importance of broadband. And, you know, we've seen it in our schools or when the schools went from home, the digital divide in this country based on where somebody lived. Same thing with business. People working from home. In some areas, they're able to work from home, and others, they just didn't have the broadband infrastructure. So, you know, we're tickled to death, and we're tickled to death for the jobs and the job security and the organizing rights that we got from it. But it's a really good opportunity for all of us to come shooting out of a cannon, feeling good, and worrying about putting our country back as a leader in broadband and, you know, And that's what it's about. I think the word, I'm one of those people that look for a word or a phrase after something. You know, it's a big story. You probably, all you have to do is Google it on the internet and 20 sites will come up and tell what happened. The biggest thing is jobs here. We've been able to secure jobs and secure job security and secure organizing rights for thousands of CWA members, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. A, as a union person, you want to assure your member a living wage. You want to assure that they're going to make it home at the end of the day, that their job is safe, mm-hmm. and B, that they have some sort of job security. And I think this checks all the boxes.
I'll tell you, it wouldn't happen without a union, especially the CWA. Very powerful union there. Well, I'm going to leave it on that note. Again, that toll-free number. And you said, now, it's this Friday, there's a vote that's going to happen dealing with...
No, that's our day of action. That's what we're going to really concentrate on, having members and activists call. But people can call the number anytime between now and next week, actually. But... it's all about letting those in the Senate know that, hey, we take voting rights seriously in this country. And I think, you know, I think that most of our friends of labor get it. It's those folks that, you know, like you said earlier, how could anybody be against a person casting their vote, regardless of how they do it? There, you know, there's no voter fraud in this country. That's a illusion and a... that's just a made-up term and a reason some people say they do for doing this. I mean, you know, and that's not the case. The problem is, let's just be honest, a lot of people that vote a certain way or vote, you know, are not labor-friendly voters, don't vote early. They don't vote by mail. And if that were the case, I'm sure those on one side of the aisle would be making a totally different argument that we ought to be expanding voter rights. But at the end of the day, we've got history on our side and we've got the right on our side, because it's right that we should make it easier for everybody to vote, regardless, because, you know, a lot of people work in this country on election day, and that's not fair. You know, you don't see the option being thrown out there of making election day a national holiday. Maybe it should be. Mm-hmm. I would support that. But voting is that serious, and we all have that right to have our voice heard. And that's what this is about, the Voters' Right Act. And we got justice, and we got the right thing on our side. And I think we're going to be successful.
Okay, call to action is this Friday, but you can call right now. That's 855-971-0720. And again, I encourage you to go to the CWA website, cwa-union.org, and sign the petition. Put power in the hands of workers and support the PRO Act. The PRO Act equals worker power. You know that. Okay, my friend, you take care. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next month, all right?
Take care, Flash.
All right, we have to take a break. Mr. Tom Jermuska on behalf of the Labor Citizen coming up next. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. And welcome back to the show, Mr. Tom Jermuska. It's been a while. He's editor of the Labor Citizen each and every month. We try to check into the trades and see what's going on. Usually Dave Wondolowski is filling in, but today is primary election day in Cleveland, Ohio. He's a little bit busy, so Tom is filling his shoes. Hey, Tom, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Flash, it's my pleasure. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're doing the story on the vaccines. I touched on this yesterday, and you're specifically dealing with the trades, as we know, essential workers during the pandemic. A number of them did get sick, but we have a vaccine. We have several vaccines, and now we're in the acceptance stage. Some say, okay, I'm ready. Others say, no, I don't want it. So give me a rundown. What's happening in the trades, Tom?
Sure, Flash. Well, as you mentioned, they certainly are. We're essential, and most studies say they are, though, on the low end as an industry, both union, non-union. Construction workers, only about 40% vaccinated as a industry, and that's definitely got people concerned. In the last couple weeks or so, at least five international unions that we've been able to track have come out publicly with pretty strong statements encouraging all their members to get fully vaccinated. We expect there was a few others that did it through more private channels. But then when you add that into President Biden's announcement just last week about any business over 100 employees mandated to get vaccines or show negative tests, things are really starting to pile up. And what we were hearing from the unions at the top, the highest levels, was it comes down to the work, guys. If the union trades can't man the jobs because they don't have enough vaccinated people to fill all the calls, then the work goes non-union. That's certainly what they don't want. Some of the talk, we've been tracking this for over a year, looked at, well, this had to be collectively bargained. Well, what we've learned since then is that would be true if your employer wanted to do this. However, any project owner, anyone that's paying the bill to build a building, to renovate something, if they say, no, I only want vaccinated construction workers doing my job, then you skip collective bargaining completely, and it is an absolute mandate. So the call is going out. I don't know how it's going to be received. It's definitely a mixed bag, like you said. But when it comes down to it, if you can't work, these things get complicated. And so there's a general belief, and I think that's what President Biden was pushing for as well, is the paycheck comes down to it, and it may change your opinion. But we're going to see. It's unclear at this point.
So right now, no CBAs, collective bargaining agreements, have been bypassed, but they can be. Is that what I'm hearing right now?
Yeah, any project owner, and the big ones are the ones we're hearing about. We've been chasing this down, Flash. No one wants to go on the record with our reporters yet, but we know there are a handful of projects in the state of Ohio where the project owners have already said things like, no, I want everyone on this job to be vaccinated, and they're going through that process to make sure that can happen. We expect to see more and more of it. Again, it's my project. I get to make that call, and if you think about big company people that are doing some of this stuff, that's more likely where you're going to see those kind of demands.
All right, let's move on to the trades endorsing the proposed deal. This is a big one, $435 million between the Cleveland Indians, soon to be the Guardians, the city of Cleveland, the county, and the state of Ohio. So we're talking, what is it, 15 years here that this deal would be pretty much in place? Is that the story?
Yes, Flash. The proposed new lease, 15 years. I'm sure if Dave Wondolowski would have been on with you, he would have been talking about this. He, leading the Cleveland Building Trades, have endorsed this. They fully support it. What they support is, as you said, the $435 million in upgrades planned over the course of this lease. There is 10 years of extensions that the city and county can do, so you may be looking at all the way through 2046. Flash, the one that I was shocked at, you and I, longtime Cleveland, Ohio folks, there are only 10 professional baseball parks in America that are older than Progressive Field. Just sounds amazing. It was only built in 1994.
Right.
But things evolve, lots of new ballparks, lots of new amenities. The watching experience has changed. And almost every bit of construction work, not every single one, but almost every one, since this building was built in 1994 has been done by the union trades. So that's a lot of work. It's a lot of man hours, hundreds of millions of dollars across lots of trades. That's why they're fully in support of it. The other thing, however, though, Flash, is the city and the county do require some hiring situations. Women, minorities, people that live within the county or a multi-county region, and the unions have been able to hit every one of those marks every time without fail. We've got the full rundown of some of those in our article. But again, this is what the unions can bring to these public-private ventures. They can meet all these benchmarks and milestones.
All right, there's one more story here. And I've beaten up on Big Pharma all the time because of high drug prices and the fact that we can't negotiate a lot of those prices. But the bottom line is this. We need these big drug companies, especially the biopharmaceutical companies, and they are building huge plants. And I guess there's a new study out, maybe you can speak to that, where there's a lot of union jobs that are involved in these plants, right?
There absolutely are. We see this with a lot of labor management association partnerships. Definitely see them a lot in the energy sector, gas and oil, now into the green energy, where the groups are aligning themselves, coming together, talking about their collective needs and interests to have labor harmony. And the end result is, as you mentioned, big business, lots of money. So a group called the Pharmaceutical Industry Labor Management Association, which is just what it sounds like, Big Pharma, getting together with union trades to form alliances. They put out a study demonstrating the money that's behind them. They only did 14 states. They only looked at a six-year window, 2015 to 2020, and they found $23.6 billion in construction work, leading to 22.3 million man-hours. Out of that, 774 million in wages and benefits. That contributes to the apprenticeship programs, helps with the training, fully supports them. So again, it's good business if Big Pharma can get the right relationships with the union trades. They trust the union trades. They meet budgets. They get work done on time. They get work done safely because of their training. All the things the unions promote are in the best interests of Big Pharma. So this new kind of association is leading that charge. And they're also using it to remind governments and other people that when they do want to come to your area, they're going to be spending a lot of money and they want to do things done right the first time. The numbers are really staggering because, again, if you think about it, that was only 14 states, only 6 years. You extrapolate that out over the entire United States, the numbers really start to pop like crazy.
Run those numbers down for me again. I was writing them down. I couldn't do it fast enough, but that's significant to the story. Give me those numbers again,
Tom. It absolutely is. So the study looked at 14 states over a six-year period ending in 2020, and they calculated that there was $23.6 billion in pharmaceutical construction. It's exactly everything you need. The plants where they build the stuff, R&D, all those things. That equaled out to at least 22.3 million man hours, and it's $774 million in wages and benefits. Those numbers are, like I said, are eye-popping. Massachusetts and California, the two biggest states for pharmaceutical construction, but, you know, there's stuff going on just about everywhere at some point or another.
Wow. Good stuff to share with our listeners. All right, my friend, you take care. Keep doing the great work at the Labor Citizen, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the road. All right? Stay safe, my brother. All right?
Thanks a lot, Flash. Same to you.
I tell you, that's a great story. And I tell you, over the years, you're seeing even companies that are non-union, like Walmart and Disney. When they build union. And for reasons what Tom just explained here on the show. All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, our segment with the American Federation of Government Employees and the Broward County Teachers fighting COVID. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.